Page 952, so grab your Bible, stand with me this morning. We're going to begin reading with verse 10, we're going to read through verse 18, and then we're going to go to the book of James, the first chapter. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, page 952. Let's read God's Word together. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His power. Put on the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Now turn to page 980. Page 980, that's going to be the book of James, the first chapter. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1 of James chapter 1. That's page 980. And let's read verses 1 through 4 together. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. Thank you so much. You can be seated. You know, I've been talking to you over the last 3 weeks about when you go to the gym. And the first thing we talked about, when you go to the gym, you're going to find mirrors. And those mirrors are there to help you see your weaknesses, to help you see where you need to strengthen yourself, to help you see the muscles that need to be worked. And then last week, we talked about crunches, you know, about how important it is to work your core, to have a strong core, not only in the physical, but in the spiritual. Someone told me last week, because, you know, I squatted down. We talked about squats, not crunches. I squatted down, you know, I was talking about how the Lord's Prayer is like a squat. You know, it's our Father who art in heaven. And I held it there, and somebody after church said, Pastor, when you did that, I was praying that you would be able to get back up. I said, I was too. You don't want a squat to go into a sit. But also at the machine, or at the gym, you're going to see a fitness center, you're going to see a lot of machines that are used to press weights. And some of it you do while you're standing, some of it you do while you're reclining, some of it you do while you're laying on your back, some of it you do while you're sitting. You can use your legs to press weights, you can use your arms to press weights, you can, while you're using your arms, you can be strengthening your chest and your pectoral muscles. Why, I looked that up. I know you think I go to the gym a lot, know that, but I looked that up. You build those up. So a press is when weight is coming against you and you're having to press that weight away from you. Particularly if you're laying on a bench and you're pressing that weight up and you realize as your arms are getting tired, that bar is getting closer and closer to your neck. I will be honest with you. There was one time that my arms gave out and I laid the weight on my sternum area and I slowly crawled out so I could fall off the bench onto the floor because, well, it was embarrassing. I didn't know that 10 pounds could get so heavy. You see, the heavier the weight, the more resistance it gives you. So the heavier the weight comes upon your body and you press that weight away, you're building muscles. The scripture tells us that God allows situations into our lives that press us. And they're situations and circumstances that come against us, and they force us in the spiritual realm to press against that so that we begin to move that. They're not coming, those weights are not coming to crush us, to destroy us. They are coming to help us build up our spirit man so that we can follow what Paul wrote the Ephesians about: be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Trials, as far as God is concerned, trials are not meant to cause you to see how you can get out of it, what measure of physical or, you know, what steps you can take in the natural to get out of them. Trials come as training equipment, and trials come to teach us how to find the pathway to true joy. Not happiness, but true joy. You know, as far as teaching, I came across a short list of significant things that children wrote that they had learned in life. Number one, you cannot trust dogs to watch your food for you. Number two, do not sneeze when somebody is cutting your hair. Number three, you cannot hide a piece of broccoli in a glass of milk. Number four, when your mom is mad at your dad, don't let her brush your hair. Number five, no matter how hard you try, you cannot baptize a cat. And one of the lessons that we learn in life in walking with Christ is that there are no shortcuts to joy. There are no shortcuts. In fact, we vilify those in athletics and those in life who we think take shortcuts. It's interesting. I read an article this morning online from Sports Illustrated, and it was talking about Bob Baffert, the trainer of Medina Spirit, the winner of the Kentucky Derby. And of course, we know that the horse was tested and was found to have a steroid in it that was 25 times the normal limit. And so Bob Baffert has been suspended from Churchill Downs and did not show up at the Preakness yesterday. And this article was about the four horses that he ran yesterday in the races. He ran two in the Preakness. He ran two in two other races. Of his four horses, two of them finished 10th. One of them finished 7th. And of course, Medina Spirit faded in the Kentucky Derby and came in 3rd place. And the writer of the article in Sports Illustrated was saying this, that Bob Baffert's horses were tested over and over and over this week. They were the most tested horses. And so now the suspicion is, how many of the wins that Bob Baffert had were with horses that were on some type of drug to help enhance their performance? And so now sports racing or horse racing is now in the spotlight. In fact, there are some who are calling for investigation of why horse racing has not had stricter enforcement and stricter testing measures. In fact, Bob Baffert is now being sued by many of the people who bet on the second place horse last week in the Kentucky Derby. We vilify those. Maybe not in politics, but in every place else in life, we vilify those in whom we think take shortcuts. 1998, Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa captured the attention of the nation as both of them sought to break the home run record set by Roger Maris of 61 home runs in one season. Mark McGwire hit 70 home runs. Sammy Sosa hit 66. Yet neither one of them has been elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame because it came out afterwards that both of them were on steroids while they were pursuing that record. Barry Bonds broke Hank Aaron's record. Barry Bonds has not yet been elected to the Hall of Fame because Barry Bonds was accused of using steroids. Roger Clemens has not been elected to the Hall of Fame because he's been accused of taking steroids. We look at those who take shortcuts and we say, that's not right. That's not the right way to do it. You shouldn't take shortcuts. And there are, according to the Scripture, there are no shortcuts in coming to the place of joy. And the way we come to the place of joy, James said, is through testing, is through trials, is through the circumstances of life. The Scriptures tell us of those who took shortcuts. Lot, in the book of Genesis, chose the well-watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. The rich young ruler chose riches over relationship with Christ. Paul wrote Timothy regarding Demas, who said, Demas has forsaken me because he loves the world. Trials always bring the temptation to find a shortcut because we don't like trials. We don't like the pain of life. We don't like when circumstances in life are not going our way. And every trial in life, every circumstance, every situation in life in which things are not going the way we want and things are not going the way we prefer and we're not happy about what's going on in our life right now, with every trial, every circumstance, every situation like that, it always brings the temptation to find a shortcut. Alleviate my pain. I don't care what I have to do. I just want the pain. If it can't stop, I at least want some type of relief from it. And so we watch people destroy their lives with alcohol, with drugs, with food, with pornography, with relationships, all trying to find a way to ease the pain, to soothe the pain, to help me somehow get through this circumstance, get through this situation, get through what's going on in my life. And yet James tells us there is no shortcut. James tells us that we are not to deny the pain. The Bible tells us that joy never denies pain. The psalmist said this in Psalm 30, verse 5, weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Psalm 34, verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Psalm 126, Psalm, the fifth verse. They who sow in tears will reap with joy. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Don't you find it interesting that as Jesus is hanging on the cross, going through all the pain that he has suffered, the beating, the slapping, the mocking, the emotional and the physical pain he's going through. They offer up to him a anesthesia on a sponge, and it said he refused it. He did not take the shortcut. He didn't look for a way out of the pain. He looked beyond the pain and said, "It may be terrible right now. It may be awful right now. I may be going through something that I don't understand, that I cannot, comprehend why I'm going through this. Why is this happening to me?" But he saw through that, and he saw that as I make it through this, there is joy on the other side of this. Trials produce, James tells us, endurance. Webster defined endurance with these words, and I quote, "the ability to withstand hardship or adversity, the ability to sustain a prolonged stressful effort or activity." Now, Vicki, you can't answer this question. You're disqualified. But does anyone know what an exercise-related transient pain is? An ETAP is actually more known as side stitches. And it's that pain in your side, and it's usually under your right rib cage when you're running or when you're exercising a great deal, when you're putting out a lot of effort, a lot of work. You start getting this sharp pain right here in your right-hand side. I can remember one day when I was in eighth grade, our coach, we were running track, and he was, there were two things I never liked about PE. One was when the coach would say, "Run three laps." And the second one was when he said, "Everybody go take a shower." Never liked either one of those things. But running laps around the track. By the time I'd finished that second lap, I'd start getting this real sharp pain right here under my right side. And I remember asking Coach Browning one day, I said, "Coach, why do I get that side?" He said, "Wes, that's just gas. Keep running." Well, he was wrong. It wasn't gas. In a study of 965 athletes, the Cleveland Clinic published an article in August of 2020, in which they studied 965 athletes who had side stitches or ETAP. And here's what they found. 75% of swimmers, 69% of runners, Peyton, I'm sorry, 62% of horse riders, 52% of aerobic participants, 47% of basketball players, and 32% of cyclists all complain of ETAP, of side stitches, of pain in their side while they're exercising. And they really don't know what causes it. There are several theories. Some of them say it's because of increased blood flow to the liver and the spleen while you're involved in heavy exercise. Another school of study is that while you're bouncing up and down, running or playing basketball or whatever, that the muscles of your stomach area begin to pull on your diaphragm, and that is what's causing the pain in your side. Another school of theory is that it's an imbalance of electrolytes in the blood, but none of them found it was gas. And so I read on in this study how they recommended to alleviate this pain in your side when you're in strenuous exercise. And here's what the article said. They recommended, first of all, that you slow your pace and you regulate your breathing. In other words, slow down enough so that you finally start getting your breath back. Don't panic. And then I like this next part. Endure the pain, keep moving, and the pain will diminish. Endure the pain. Keep moving, and the pain will diminish. That's what James was saying. He said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying, the pressing of your faith is producing endurance. And then he said, and let endurance have its perfect work. In other words, don't look for a shortcut. Don't throw up your hands and say, I just can't take this anymore. Don't throw up your hands and say, I just quit. I'm overwhelmed. Maybe you need to slow your pace down a little bit. Maybe you need to spend a little more time in prayer. Maybe this is a time in which you need to focus on the Psalms and read what others who endure wrote. But it's not the time to stop. Endure the pain. Keep moving, and the pain will diminish. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: therefore, since we are surrounded, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. Every one of us know of someone who felt overwhelmed by life and they took a shortcut. Sherry was telling me last night of a friend of hers in Baltimore whose their daughter had two children, was married to a dentist, seemed to have a very successful life and everything somebody could want to bring them happiness in life, but she battled depression. And finally she came to a place where she felt like she could not battle it any longer. And 6 months ago she took her life. And she left those two sons to be raised by a grief-stricken husband. There's always a shortcut. There's always a way in which we think, well, if I just do this, if I just have another drink, if I just, you know, have some more drugs, if I just get caught up in pornography on my computer, if I just eat my way through this, or whatever it might be, that'll soothe my pain and I'll feel better. Maybe somebody else in my life, maybe that person can bring me the joy that I'm looking for. And James tells us, endure the pain, see it through, endure, persevere, because there is joy on the other end. I know I mentioned my mom a lot. Last Sunday, Mother's Day, I drove down to where our parents are buried down in Woodville. I stood there for about 20, 25 minutes or so thinking about my parents and thinking so much about my mom's prayer life. Our mom was a praying woman, and she was, I can't tell you how many times, sometimes I was in the junior boys class, she taught the junior girls class, but sometimes if our teacher wasn't there, they'd combine the classes. And I can't tell you how many times I've seen my mom with her Bible open and her Sunday school book laying inside that Bible as she's teaching that lesson. And before long, she would reach into her purse and pull out a Kleenex and set it there, because as she was teaching about this Jesus that she loved so much, she could not prevent the tears from rolling down her face. Our mother prayed for our brother for years and years and years and years. One of the last things I heard her say before she was taken to hospice house was to tell my brother, Bub, I prayed for you a long time. And she went to heaven, not seeing what she had prayed for answered, but she endured. She didn't give up. She didn't base her prayer life on what my brother was doing, how he was living his life. And he lived a very rough, hard life. If it was out there to do it, Bubba was going to try it. But she endured. She persevered. She kept praying. She kept calling those things which be not as though they were. And in March, my brother called us and said, he called me and he said, Rodney, I'm a Christian. Today at church, I walked down to the altar and I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. In less than 2 years, my brother was in heaven with my mother. And I cannot imagine, it probably took 10 angels, including Gabriel, to hold her back from not running over my brother when he stepped into those pearly gates. But she persevered. She endured. She did not allow her focus to be affected by what was going on out here in the periphery. She kept her focus on God. In 1987, Eastern Airlines was also running what they called Eastern Express, and there was a cargo flight that was going from Portland, Maine to Boston. The pilot heard an unusual noise in the back of the plane, and so he left the co-pilot in charge of the plane. He walked to the back of the plane to see what was going on, and as he drew near the back of the plane, the plane hit an air pocket and he was thrown against the rear door of the plane and it flew open and he was sucked out of the plane. The co-pilot saw that the alarm was going off, that there was an open door, and so he radioed the Coast Guard to send out boats and a helicopter out to begin to look for the body of the pilot, Henry Dempsey. The co-pilot radioed the nearest airport and made an emergency landing. After the plane had landed, the ground crew went around to the back of the plane to see if they could find out what had happened to the door. And there, clinging with half of his body out of the plane and half of his body in the plane, was Henry Dempsey, holding on to the ladder. He had managed to hold on for 10 minutes as the plane flew at a speed of 200 miles an hour at an altitude of 4,000 feet. What's more, as the plane made its approach and landed, he managed to prevent his head a mere 12 inches above the runway from hitting the runway. According to the news reports, and we wouldn't find this probably unusual, it took several airport personnel 10 minutes to pry his fingers away from the ladder. He endured. He endured. He endured in the face of circumstances that said, you're not going to make it. He persevered when everything around him told him, you'll never make it. This is too much. He endured. He persevered. That is the picture of endurance. It is the ability to hang on when it would be easier to let go. Endurance. Persevering. Hanging on. Saying, as Job said, though he slay me, yet I will trust in Him. Endurance. Perseverance. That says, I won't let go. I'm not going to look for a shortcut. I'm not looking for an easy way out. I'm going to hold on to God. And God is going to see me through. And when I get through this, I am going to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. We live in a time right now in which it seems there is an great pressure to give up, to say it's too hard. I'm tired of swimming upstream. I'm tired of making a stand. I'm tired of enduring. And to those of you who are at that place, I want to say to you, hang on. Hang on. You never know. Today could be the day. Tomorrow could be the day. How sad it would be to get right up to the place where the pain was going to be alleviated and you were going to discover the joy of God, and to come 6 hours short of it, to miss it. Hang on. Father God, I thank you that James could write to a church that was suffering, a church that had been dispersed because of persecution, and could say to them, count it all joy when you suffer trials. Don't look for the shortcut. Don't look for the easy way out. Endure. Persevere. Because God is building something in you. He's building endurance. Hold on. God knows where you are. God hasn't forgotten you. God sees the tears. God hears the prayers. God sees the circumstances. Hang on. And so, Lord, today I pray for that one who is at the place of giving up. That one who says, it's too hard, it's too difficult. I pray for that one, Lord, who is considering the shortcut. I pray for that one who has already taken the road of the shortcut, that they would hear your voice today and would say, God, whatever it takes, whatever it costs, however painful it might be, no matter how this weight may press upon me, by God's help, I'm going to endure. And I'm going to grow in strength and endurance and in perseverance. And I am going to find joy unspeakable. In Jesus' name, amen.